Let's open with a word of prayer, and we're going to jump into our lesson this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so very grateful for the beauty of this day and for the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, to bless us as we meet together in this room and as we open up your word and as we get encouragement from the scriptures. And I pray that you'll stir us up in this time period to love and to good works, that we might go out into a dark world and shine like stars in the night. Pray, Father, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that your fruit would be big in our lives. I pray, God, that you would just give us attentive hearts as we study together this morning. We pray for our church. We pray, Lord, that you would make our church to be like a lampstand in our town, that shining forth the gospel of Christ. May we put your word on a high pedestal, and may you do your work through your anointing, Father. And I pray, God, that you would bless us together. I pray for every family represented in our class, and I ask your blessing on that family. I pray, Father, you'll fill us as women with your wisdom, and that you will give us great understanding of the day in which we're living, and that we will live wisely in our day, making the most of our opportunities. We pray, Father, for the many that are on our roll in our Sunday school class who are not able to be with us this morning for many, many reasons. We ask you to bless them. We ask you, Father, to move in their lives, and we ask you, Lord, now to speak very clearly to us through your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back to our series of lessons that we are calling Sent. And today is lesson 8. And I've been calling it our summer series, but you know what? School started Friday, so does that mean I can't call it summer series anymore? So I guess we're moving our summer series into the fall series, but we're winding down with this series. Anyway, there was a day in your life when someone shared the gospel with you. Can you remember that day? Are you so happy someone shared the gospel with you? I am. And you were saved, and that was like a wonderful miracle performed by the Holy Spirit himself. He birthed you into the family of God. He opened your blind eyes. He took you, even though you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he made you alive to God through that gospel message. You reached out and you believed that message with a faith that was given to you as a gift by the grace of God. Our salvation is so precious. We're no longer in darkness. We're no longer a slave to sin. We've been made alive in order to walk in newness of life. But in our study, since we've been seeing that our salvation isn't the end. No, no, no. Now that we're saved, we are sent out. We have a purpose. Aren't you glad somebody took seriously their responsibility to share the gospel with you? And so we've been saved, and we've been saved in order to serve, in order to go out and to proclaim the gospel of our Master. And we've been learning that God is at work all around us, and he's inviting us to join him in his work in bringing in the kingdom of God. We're to be serving. We're to be laying down our lives for the gospel. And it's really joyful. It's really an adventure. It's really what you're made for. And so we spent 4 weeks in our lessons just taking the time to stir up our hearts to be convicted and to be convinced that we are to desire to be sent out in our own lives into the world to share the gospel. And then in lesson 5, we took and talked about the most important ingredient in living a sent life. You see, when the disciples were waiting for the Lord to ascend into heaven, he told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait there and for something that was going to happen. Don't go out yet. Yes, you're excited. Yes, you're stirred up. Yes, you're convinced the gospel is good news, but don't go yet. You got to wait for something. You've got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And on the day of Pentecost, boy, did he ever come. He came in a magnificent way, and the church was born on that day, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit that brought it all about. And so the Holy Spirit is the secret ingredient. Well, it's not really an ingredient, is it? It's a person. And when you are born again, that person moves right in and lives inside of you. You get all of the Holy Spirit on that day. The truth is, we can do nothing for Christ apart from Him. I had no power whatsoever in my life to change another person, to even change myself. And so the Bible commands us to be continually, constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who has the power, who does all the work in salvation. He fills me, and then as He does, I move out in power. He directs me. He gives me the words to say. He brings the fruit in my life. My part is to be filled with Him, to abide in Him. Now, Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on and says some other things that are the results of being filled with the Spirit. There is a comparable passage that is almost identical to Ephesians, except in Colossians, instead of saying, be filled with the Spirit, here's what it says. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Those two things are synonymous. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. They equal the same thing. And then when we moved to lesson 6, we began learning some gospel strategies. And we said we're learning some spiritual tools to put in our gospel toolbox. Now, let's just kind of review the two tools that we've seen so far, and today we're going to add tool number 3. Here's the first tool that we looked at, and it's this. Train yourself to see people with the eyes of Jesus. Train yourself to see people with the eyes of Jesus. We're calling it the What Do You See campaign. And so we kicked off this 30-day campaign that you signed up for. Now, we looked at the scripture in John 4, where Jesus was in Judea early in his ministry. He wanted to go to Galilee, which was at the bottom of Israel. You got Judea up here, you got Galilee down here, and right in the middle is this terrible country called Samaria. And the Jews hated the Samaritans because they were half-breeds. They were half-Gentile, and they were half-Jew. And no Jewish man or woman would go through Samaria. They wouldn't even put their foot in Samaria. But Jesus is leaving Judea, and he says, I must go through Samaria. He goes through Samaria. It's lunchtime. They stop at Jacob's well, which is in the city of Sychar. And of course, the disciples, it's lunchtime, and they're like, oh, we got to go to Wendy's. And so Jesus sits down, they go into town, and he encounters the woman at the well. Now, she was a bad girl. She had a very bad reputation. And yet Jesus looked at her. She was one made in the image of God. She was of great worth to him. He had a divine appointment with her. In fact, she is the first person that he reveals to that he is the Messiah. She gets so excited, she gets born again. And right as the disciples are coming back to bring Jesus his biggie bag, they see her, and she's leaving, and she's going into town, and they're wondering, what is Jesus thinking, talking to that bad, bad woman? He must not know. And he tells them, look up. Look up. The fields are white unto harvest. You're so busy eating your lunch. You need to look up. And as they looked up, they saw all the people from the town coming to see Jesus, because that woman had gone into town and told everybody that she had met the Messiah. Come with her, come with her. They all came out, they met him, they begged him, please stay. And he stayed two more days with them in Samaria. And many, many people, the Bible says, believed because of the word of the woman who testified. And so the 30-day What Do You See campaign we've been doing is a campaign where sometime during your day, you get a text. And that text says, what do you see? And what you're to do is stop where you are, put down your biggie bag, and look up and see people who are around you. Look all around you. They're everywhere. There are lost people everywhere. I want to just say to you, go to Walmart and think lost. Just go through the rows and think, I wonder if that person's saved. I wonder if that person's saved. I wonder who in this store will be in heaven with me. I'm here and I've got the light of the world in me. How can I shine where I am? And we're training ourselves to think evangelistically. And so that's what our 30-day campaign is all about. And so some days you're by yourself. Well, what should you do if there's no one there? Well, we had a card and we wrote down names of people in our world who we know don't know Jesus. So if you're by yourself, pray for the names on your card. But this is a way to train yourself. Look up. Look out and see the harvest that is all around us here in Brookhaven. And then I gave you a sheet, and I love this sheet. I've been praying it every day since I discovered it. These 8 ways to pray for those in your world who are lost. Now, I've got all of these things on a table as you leave today. And if you want to be a part of that campaign, say you haven't been here, sign up and I will add you to my list. Now, I did miss one day last week sending out my text. And I was having my grandchildren tennis camp. And I was having a day. And I just totally forgot to send that text. Do y'all forgive me? Thank you. Thank you. All right, where am I? That brings us to our next gospel tool that we looked at last week. Let's write it down. It's called gathering and caring. Gathering and caring.
Hearing?
Caring. C-A-R-I-N-G. Gathering people together for the purpose of caring for them. This is a great gospel tool. You see, God has given us, just in our human nature, the desire in each of us to have community, to long for transformation, to want a purpose in life, to want a life that is satisfying, a life of peace? How do I begin this tool called gathering and caring? Well, I look around. First, I look up and I see the harvest. That's tool number one. And then I ask myself, what are the physical needs of the people in front of me? What are the emotional needs of the people in front of me? And what are they interested in? What are people thinking about? And then I take the initiative to step out and get involved in the lives of other people for the purpose of sharing the gospel. You know, I think about our lives. You're going to ball games. You're going to soccer matches. You're going to, maybe you're in a tennis league. You're going maybe to a book club or football or basketball, or maybe you're in the PTA. You find yourself at all kinds of events with people from all over our town. You just went to meet the teacher night. You met a lot of people that night. Do you ever just stop and think when you're in those kinds of situations? Stop. Look up. The harvest is white. The fields are white unto harvest. They're all around me. And how can I step out and insert my simp life into the circles of other people? I do it by looking, what are your needs? How can I talk? What can I find out about you? We're going to be talking about that today. I say, who has a need here? How can I take action? How can I do something to meet another's need? I gather, I care. This opens the door for you to share the gospel. I make the most of my opportunity. I invite people to church. I invite people to Sunday school. I invite them to join me in some way that will introduce them to the love of my life, who is Jesus. I simply learn about the people around me. It sounds so simple, but think about how isolated we live our lives. There you are in your job. Every day the world is coming to you. Take advantage of your opportunity. Now, last week I gave you homework. I gave you homework to stop, look up, and then step out, gather, and care about somebody. I want you to take a few minutes at your table, and I want you to talk about what you did last week. Now, this could be a real short conversation if you didn't do anything, right? So if you didn't do anything, what I want you to do is talk about ways in which you might do something. I want you to brainstorm. I want you to think about your life, your circles, and how you can make the most of your opportunities. And then when we come back, I'm going to give you just a minute to do that. We'll come back and we're going to talk about our third gospel tool. So go. Stop now and come back to me. Let's go to our next gospel tool. Our first one is to see others as Jesus does. We're calling that, what do you see? Look up. And then our second one was gathering and caring. And here is our third one. And it's this. I want you to develop curiosity. Take an interest in others. Develop curiosity. Now, let's start with this scripture. Look at Philippians 2:4 with me on your handout. That scripture says this: don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. I think this passage can be illustrated best by one of Jesus' most famous stories out of Luke 10, and it's the story of the Good Samaritan. And it's the story of this unfortunate traveler who was mugged on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem. Thieves jumped on him. They beat him. They took his money. They left him lying in a ditch. And Jesus is telling this story because he's intending through this story to identify the three groups of people in the story. And he wants his listeners to say, well, I'm like him, or I'm like this group, or I'm like this group. So let's talk about the three groups of people in the story. So the first group, we're going to call them the crooks. They attacked the man. They had an attitude, I'm going to take advantage of him. He's by himself. We're more than him. What is his is going to be ours. We're going to take it. They were just outright wicked men. And then next came along another group, and it was religious people. Oh yes, they were very religious. They had attained up in the hierarchy of their religion, and they were dressed so well, and they were busy. Oh yes, they were so busy, and they were so important. But here's the thing, they were very calloused, and they were very uncaring, and they felt as if they were way above this unfortunate man who had been beat up by, and he was a Samaritan, and they weren't about to stoop down and touch a Samaritan and get their hands dirty. But then came this Samaritan, the person beaten was not a Samaritan, I'm sorry. I'm getting off my notes. The next man was a Samaritan. Write that down. And I've already told you, how do the Jews feel about Samaritans? Oh, they hated them. They hated them. But here's the deal about this man. He was caring. He was compassionate. He was merciful. And he was gracious. And he stopped. And he looked past his own interest. And he truly saw and responded to the needs and the worth and the interest of others. I read a story this week that I want to share with you. Listen as I read it. It's the story of a nurse, and it's a story that came when she was in nursing school. Here's what she said. During my second month of nursing school, our professor gave us a pop quiz. I was a very conscientious student. I had breezed through the questions until I came to the very last question. It read, what is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? Surely this was a joke, I thought. I had seen her several times. She was tall, dark-haired, and probably in her 50s, but how would I know her name? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. And before the class ended, one student asked, is the last question going to count toward our quiz grade? And the professor said, absolutely. And then he said this, in your careers, you will meet many people. All of them are significant. They desire your attention and your care. Even if all you do is smile and say hello to them, that is important. And then the nurse said, I've never forgotten that lesson. I also learned that her name was Dorothy. Who is the Dorothy in your life who needs your attention? And so our verse commands us to look out not only for our own interest, but for the interest of others. Let that speak to your heart this morning. How can I cultivate a heart that truly takes an interest in others? And the answer to that question is, I'm going to have to make curiosity a fundamental part of my life. I'm going to have to look up, and I'm going to care, and I'm going to take interest in other people. In other words, I'm going to be curious enough to find out. Now, I want to say in this verse, what we're receiving here, and I think I put it on your handout, is this. This is a biblical mandate for us. It's not just a suggestion. It's a biblical mandate. You see, when I'm curious about someone else's life, here's what it shows. Let's write some things down. It shows that I care about them. Because curiosity is the secret juice of relationships. Now think with me. Can you remember the last time you felt truly cared for because someone asked you questions about your life? When was the last time someone looked at you and they were curious about you? And they ask questions about your life. Let's write this down. Curiosity, then, is a prerequisite to vital spiritual conversations. And living a sent life, that means I'm going to be curious about other people, and I'm going to do it as a way to connect with them in order to have gospel conversations. Write this down. Curiosity means I desire to learn new information about others. Here's another thing. It's a way that I can love others well and care about their life. And so when I'm curious about other people, it means that I'm holding them in high regard. I have a high regard for other people. A curious heart is set on discovering more about the person who is before me, a person as I'm looking at them and I'm thinking they're made in the very image of God. Let's write this down. Having a curious heart is a state of being fully present with a person. And when I'm in the moment with a person, when I'm fully present with a person, and I imagine that if I'm curious in my heart, I'm thinking, I'm going to discover something meaningful here, something valuable as I am interacting with them. So let's write this down. Curiosity, then, can be a means of assigning dignity to another person. It's like you're becoming an explorer, and you're digging for rich treasures of experiences and insights and wisdom in the life of another person. You're showing interest. You're putting them before yourself. Look at Romans 12. That verse there says, be devoted to one another in brotherly or sisterly love. Give preference to one another in honor. That's what we're talking about here. Now, do you want to bless other people? This means yes. This means no. Do you want to bless other people? Do you? Yeah. Then be curious about them. Care for them. Look out for their interest. This is a wonderful way to take the gospel to other people. Just by being intentional. By being genuinely curious. Now, let me ask the question again. When was the last time you felt truly cared for by another because of their interest in you? Now, here is the real point. Loving curiosity about others will position us to enter into meaningful conversations that will lead to spiritual topics. And then this, curiosity then will lead to awe and to worship as you discover the complexity of another person. And you're going to bless them. But Teresa, I'm shy. You don't understand. Where would I ever begin in living, in this journey toward living in curiosity, of not looking to my own interest, but also to the interest of others? Where would I even begin? Well, let's pause for a minute, and let's be curious with each other. Here's the question I want you to answer around your table. Look at it on your handout. What question do you wish others would ask you about yourself? All right, think about that. What question do you wish others would ask you about yourself? I'm going to give you a minute. So go and answer that question around your table. I come back. Come back because we're talking about curiosity now. I want to be interested in you. I'm curious about you. And my heart is, I want to share Jesus. That's always what I love to talk about the most. And so I want to give you four questions on your handout. How are you going to take your conversation and move it to spiritual conversation? Okay? Because that's what we want. We want to talk about the Lord. And so I'm going to give you four questions that will help you move your conversation into a spiritual conversation. These are questions you can put in your memory bank and use them when you're talking with people. All right, let's look at the first one. I'm a Christian. I'm so curious. What does your tradition say about Jesus? That's one question. Look at number two. I could ask, well, do you consider yourself on a spiritual journey? What is that like? Where are you on that journey? That's just another question you could ask that would move your conversation to spiritual things. And then look at number three. You could say, do you have a prayer request that I could pray for you? You could say, I'm learning so much about prayer and I keep a prayer journal. Do you have any prayer requests? And then number four, I could say, well, can I share with you something that I've learned in the Bible that has changed how I handle this, worry, fear, any topic? Or I could say, I found something in the Bible that's really helping me deal with this. Can I tell you about it? And then you share your story of how the Bible has been a transforming influence in your life. I want to share one more story with you. I thought this was good. I read a story of a woman who sat by a Muslim woman on a plane. It was obvious she was Muslim because of the way she dressed. And so this lady asked her, she said, are you a Muslim? And the conversation took off. And then she sat there and she listened carefully as the woman described to her what Islam meant to her. And when she was finished sharing, then the woman said, well, I'm a Christian and I'm wondering, do you have any questions for me about Jesus? And the woman said, well, yes, I do. I really do. I wonder how anyone would know which religion was really the true one. How could I ever know what the truth really is? And since the two women were headed to the very same final destination together, the Christian woman invited her new Muslim friend to come to dinner to talk about Jesus' claim out of John 14:8, where he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. She invited her, saying, I would love to share with you why Jesus says He is the truth and the only way. And they had dinner together. Now, sometimes in our conversations, we just, through our words, can open up this beautiful space to invite questions with others about Jesus. And we cultivate curiosity in their heart, as well as we are being curious, we're cultivating curiosity in their hearts. One of my favorite questions that I like to ask with people, just to start conversation, is this. I'm just so curious about you. Tell me about yourself. And that will just open up a conversation with people. Now let's see, we've got a few minutes and I've got some questions there I would like for you to talk around your table. Let's look at them. What does it mean to take an interest in others? Talk about that. What do you think curious people believe about others that makes them interested in other people's lives? In other words, what motivates curiosity in your life? Why would you even want to be curious anyway? And why do you think it matters for living a sent life? And then the fourth question, describe how a curious person acts and what it might look like to be devoted to others, as Romans 12 says. What most needs to change in your life to show your curiosity and devotion? All right, so take a few minutes, hit on a few of those, and I'll call you back and we'll close in prayer. So go.
Thank you.
All right, we've got to stop. All right, now here's your homework, and it's at the bottom of your page. And we're going to talk about it next week, so do your homework, because I'm giving grades out, and you do want good grades. All right, so look there. Identify a few people in your life to whom you might practice the art of curiosity. Think of a few questions to ask them. And as you're in your world this week, think, I want to be a curious person. Now, we've got three tools in our gospel toolbox. What are they? The first one is what? See people as Jesus does. Look up. Pay attention. Notice other people. Pray for other people. Then you're going to be all about looking, gathering, and caring for other people. Taking the time to notice the needs of other people. To notice their emotional needs. To notice their interest. You're going to make the most of being at the PTA and being at your tennis league. Wherever you are, you're going to be about gathering and caring. And then today, our third gospel tool is what? Be curious. Develop curiosity. Don't be just about yourself and your own interests. Be about the interest of other people. You will be the biggest blessing. And you will take the Lord into the world. Do you hear me? This is true, right? So, go out this week. Be curious. Now, if you are not signed up for the What Do You See 30-day campaign and you want to be, I have a table here and you can sign up on your way out. Also, I have that paper, 8 Ways and Scriptures You Can Pay for Others. And I also have this card if you want to write down. And then this sheet, I called your attention to it last week. It is concerning the rally that's coming up, the evangelistic rally that's coming up in October. If you want to be a part, help some way and serve with that event, you can sign up. There's a QR code on this paper, and this explains how you might can sign up to serve. So these three things are on the table as you leave, and let's pray together. Our Father, we bless your name. We thank you that you've saved us and that you've sent us out. And now, Father, we're all about equipping ourselves to go into the world, to look up and see, to gather, to care, and to be curious about other people, all for the sake of sharing the gospel. And Father, I pray for these ladies that you will make us effective. Help us to go into our worlds and to shine as lights in the darkness. And we pray now that you would, just this next week, stir up our hearts to be curious, to care, to gather, to love, to look up, to pray. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. You don't want to miss next week.